Today is September the 2nd, 1997, and I am interviewing Preston Bolton. Let's talk about this Arts Council of Houston, which came into place about 1957.
The Arts Council was really formed by Jane Owen and Ima Hogg, were the ones that were interested in gathering a group that were primarily interested in the performing arts and in the visual arts. And probably lasted about, I would say, 4 or 5 years. It didn't last very long.
Why not?
They found there wasn't a need for it anymore. It was one of the early organizations that was looking to get more money for the arts and trying to get the people interested in trying to get the Exxon and the corporations interested. Well, that didn't happen. It happened later with the various organizations, but not at that time. They gave a wonderful mask ball every year. It was lots of fun. Oh, yes. The Rice Hotel.
Were you involved at the very beginning of the Contemporary Arts Association?
Yes.
Can you go back with me and remember that early time?
One of the founders just died this month, Walter Farmer. Walter Farmer was with Foley's, and he was in charge of a store, what do they call it, decorating department, but I guess that's what it was, where you all the displays in the store. And he was one of the light, guiding lights that got together a group, you know, Carol Strauss and some of those people.
Who else were they, can you remember?
Alvin Romansky. Gosh, I forget. I'm sure I'll leave somebody out. And it was about 9 or 10 people. And most of them are dead now. Well, I was in the early meetings there.
Where did they have them?
Walter Farmer's house. Carol Strauss's house.
And what was the stated agenda? I mean, what was the mission?
To create an interest in contemporary art. You know, we didn't have galleries then. And Jimmy Chilman hated contemporary art and wouldn't do anything about it.
So it was to show, basically, to sponsor exhibits.
To sponsor exhibits and interest in the contemporary arts and just contemporary art.
Local and beyond.
Yes.
Local and national and even international. Who was behind where was the first physical place?
The first show that I remember was given at the Museum of Fine Arts in one of the upstairs rooms there. And Robert Prusser was the curator of, you know, got things together.
And he was the curator. Okay.
Well, we didn't have a...
I know. Coordinator or manager or whatever. But the MFA did cooperate to allow the space.
That's right.
And then about how many exhibits did you have there before moving out into a different location?
I remember two. There may have been more. The first one was on household objects. And it was Foley's was being built, and the industrial designer for Foley's was very prominent and active at that time from New York. The name escapes me. But
it was on industrial design.
Yeah. You know, hand things and that kind of thing. But I remember the story that Betty Bloxham, you may not know, but remember she was on the board, and they cut the show, and she didn't like it because it didn't have enough plastic in it. And her husband was in plastics. So she just came up one day and, while no one was looking, just put a big glob of plastics in the show and labeled it.
Things were free and easy.
Yes.
Well, when did that? Where was the next place that CAM went? CAA went. Was that over near the Prudential Building?
No. Of course, the original Contemporary Art Building was built downtown where the Heritage Society is now. And the property was owned by John Blaffer. And he let them use the property.
Was it right across the street from Helen Noble House?
Yes.
Right there at Bagby, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They've changed streets in there since that time.
It's probably near Bagby and Lamar, mm-hmm. or Dallas.
It was across the street at that time from the fire alarm building, which mm-hmm. has been torn down.
Bagby and Lamar, probably. What was it like?
Well, it was Camrath did the building. And the building was paid for by John Demoneal, but it was on the John Blaffer property. And I was president in there sometime. And then you see that's where the Van Gogh show took place, which was one of the famous ones here.
Sponsored by CAM.
CAM. And
was it CAM then? Or CAA? I bet it's still CAA.
It was still CAA Association.
Who was the moving party behind that exhibit?
John Demoneal. Then the American Federation of Arts was a very prominent thing, and I was president at that time, and I went to New York and invited them to come have their thing here. And I think it was one of the really influential movements in the city that focused on art, and the local people knew that there were big people interested in art.
When the American Federation of Arts, was that based out of New York?
Yes.
Was it an organization focusing on the contemporary American art of the day, or what?
It was mainly on art and museums, but there were a lot of, Jackson Pollock, for instance, was very active in that. And the president of it was the head of Life magazine. And this brought a lot of prominent business people to Houston who showed the Houston people that art really was big.
What was the exhibition like?
It was a very good exhibition.
Was it painting, the sculpture?
The Van Gogh, or you mean just the general?
The American Federation.
American Federation of Arts at that time, the exhibit that they brought was a reproduction of the Sistine, of the chapel in where the Pope is.
Okay, Vatican.
Vatican. It was a special way of illuminating the art, and they completely constructed the chapel in the museum. And then they had photographs. This is when all the famous photographers were here.
Well, did they construct it in the MFA or in the CAA?
No, CAA. Well, see, that building then was moved out to the Prudential.
They picked it up and moved it.
Picked it up and moved it. Right down Main Street, and it was a wonderful party.
I bet it was.
All of us riding on the truck, you know, Nina Cullinan and Mrs. Safford and all the early
people. I bet
people.
It was great. What was it? Did Carl Camrath design it so it could be moved later? Was it designed?
No, it just happened that it could be.
It just happened that
mm-hmm.
way.
And Prudential paid for actually putting it on there, on their grounds.
How did that come about?
Through the man who was head of Prudential at that time, and I can see him, but I can't remember his name.
Well, how did he get interested or even know?
He became a a member of the board?
Do you remember when Cam became Cam from the CAA?
No, I don't know the date.
Why did that, why was it deemed that needed to be done?
Because you could borrow from other museums.
Who, did you all decide from the beginning that Cam or CAA would not have a permanent collection?
Yes, except that was not decided at the first. We were given a number of objects. Susan McEachin gave a number of objects. They were Calders and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Owen gave some. So those were accepted. But the primary reason that we decided not to have a permanent collection, we didn't have any place for it.
Mm-hmm. What happened to the work?
When they moved to this new, the place they are now,
mm-hmm.
they were sold, and they were, most of them were sold back to the donors, or given back. I think some of them were just given.
And let me see, I know I can get all the information. So you all have some fun exhibits out there.
Oh, both yes.
locations,
yes.
Probably some really good ones too.
In both locations, there was a conflict on the board all the way through this as to whether the organization should be for local artists only, or whether they should expand to national and international artists. And John Devineal was the one that was very much in favor of national and international. And Eleanor Freed, because she had a painter husband, was definitely not for it, as were the local artists. Because remember, there were no galleries in those days. And there was no place for the artist to really show his work.
Can you think of anything else that was really instrumental or important with the CAA, or any of your reflection in the change of the direction of the evolution of the organization that you would think is unusual or different? Or?
Well, I went through a number of directors who had
their own flavor,
like Lefty and his wild show for the opening of the museum, where cockroaches were prominent.
Who's the director then?
Lefty Adler.
Oh, that's right. Cockroaches. Wasn't that the one with Rauschenberg? And was that the same one?
No.
That was a different one.
Rauschenberg was a good one. This was an artist who used cockroaches and growing things, and oh, it was not a very well-accepted exhibit.
Can you think of anything else that we should think about or reflect on about CAA coming into CAM? Do you think it's been able to do what it set out to do?
Yes, I do. I think we forget when it was formed that there was absolutely no contemporary art in Houston, and the people who supported the early did it because of that. As it grew, there were other contemporary things offered in the city. So it's all a matter of timing. And
so it was a real, initiator and instigator, because without that, the contemporary art might not have come as fast and as clearly a path as it did.
And I think that when Sweeney came, he was very much for contemporary art, and up until that time.
But he came and he brought a big boost.
Mm-hmm.
Contemporary Art Museum was there, and then he nurtured all that.
That's
interest
right.
And enthusiasm. Were the Barfelds good supporters of contemporary art?
Very much so.
Because the girls sure are.
So was Aaron. Aaron particularly is the one that organized the art group that had. Well, they bought a Mogliani and circulated it among its members. And then sometimes they would sell the work, or sometimes it would be sent back to New York. One of the most influential things that happened during this whole period were that the New York galleries would come down and stay at the Shamrock Hotel and show work and take them out to Mrs. Farish and to people like that. That's where a lot of the art came. Nodler's was particularly active in that, as were many of the New York galleries. It was all done on an individual basis. They would take a suite at the Shamrock, and I remember Monet's water lilies were there, and if the individual liked it, he would take it out to their house and let them, just selling it like oriental rugs, you know. But it worked.
Interesting. It's hard to imagine just 30 years ago the trading going on like that.
We're talking about the time of the MFA when Nina Cullinan gave the money for Cullinan Hall, and the committee was composed of Andy Todd and Hugo Newhouse, the MFA director, and Preston Bolton.
And Andy Todd wanted he did the Dallas Museum. And Hugo and I wanted Mies van der Rohe. And the museum director didn't have an opinion.
Were you on the committee and followed the whole thing all the way through to completion with him?
Yes.
So, I thought Mrs. Brown was behind a lot of that too.
Not really.
No? Nina Cullinan?
Nina Cullinan. For that space. Now, the Browns have done many other things.
Right. So I'm talking about Cullinan Hall and the reorientation of the entrance into the museum and really...
Yeah, I think that, Ms. Brown was on an MFA board and had input in it from that standpoint, yes. But really, Nina Cullinan was the one that said what to do. That was, you see, it didn't have the front piece then. It was just the center hall, which was built first. That was built first and was there for at least 8 or 10 years, so quite a long time before the second phase came to.
But Mies did both phases.
Yes.
It was designed to happen in phases. Because
and Mrs. Brown was the one who did the second phase. That was all the money they had.
Yeah.
But Cullinan Hall, you still entered through the old front doors.
So there was clothes on that back side of the cement.
That's right. It was glass.
Did people feel funny when the second phase opened and it was sort of like the orientation of the museum? Not sort of. It was reversed. I mean, what was the reaction to that? Were people,
I think most people liked it. I think most people liked it. Of course, Mies van der Rohe was very popular at that time because he was also doing, Philip Johnson was doing the St. Thomas and Demoneal House, and that style of architecture was very popular. I think I've told you.
Did Mies van der Rohe come forward with several design options?
Yes, he did. And a combination of them were finally figured.
But he was designing for phases.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of along those lines?
I think that Stanley Marcus had a lot to do with the museum growth and direction.
That would have been, what, the 60s?
Yeah. They had a store downtown.
And he probably vitalized a lot of that.
He did, and popularized it and supported it.
You know, you mentioned Foley's earlier. That's another thing that we don't seem to have in the same way, that kind of hands-on, really focused attention.
Mm-hmm.
there is corporate giving, but it's given from a distance. And
yes.
You don't have the identifying passion and that kind of interest coming through, not universally, but for the most part, from the corporate community. I mean, you do have some corporate people on these boards, but the CEO is not taking the same kind of...
No, he has to be interested. And we had some people at that time who were genuinely interested in art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And showed it. Because when I first came to Houston way back in the early 40s, late 40s, the symphony was the only thing in town that anybody supported that even looked like art.
Can you think of some of these other organizations that have come along and your impressions or memories of any of them? By the other organizations, I mean, anything interesting that you remember about the Art League or Lawndale or Diverse Works or Midtown or any of those?
They were all very timely, and usually those organizations were spin-offs, and there were people who got upset with either the music. I could always tell when somebody got upset with an MFA, I immediately got them on the Contemporary Art Board because they would help a lot. So that's what happened to a lot of those groups, which is fine. And also the fact that those groups mainly went to local artistic talent. My theory in all of this has been through the years that the city is only as good as all of its arts. That one art alone can't support a really cultural endeavor for a city. And that if we had a wonderful museum and a terrible symphony, it isn't good. So I tried to promote ballet and all the things that we were weak in order to bring them up to the same level. You know, I was at the Children's Museum recently, and I have been rather critical of it, but when I was there on a Saturday, there were so many people that it's wonderful.
If you want to feel creativity around you, you can go over there. Well, and looking back, what do you see looking forward? What do you think, like, the next 2 years will be bringing to Houston?
The encouraging thing to me is that the young people that are on all these boards now, and they're taking on the responsibility that their parents, or grandparents had for the city. The boards are young boards, and that's what should be, and that's wonderful for the future. Beside that, the city has been very, very generous in money. When I first came to Houston, it was easy to get money for hospitals, but it was not easy to get them for anything to do with the arts, and that's changed.